Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We're starting the 3 o'clock hour a little bit late, but Gino was really good. I loved what he had to say about Tyler Huntley or whoever the quarterback is for the Dolphins on Monday night. Like, I love what he had to say, which was essentially, yeah, just throw it to your playmakers and hope they make a play.
Hawk, I was not a quarterback, and we talked about that last week before Seattle. Send these fast dudes on fast routes and throw the ball as far as you can and see what happens. You can get a pass interference. You can get a catch. Like, I don't know why he limited it so much, and I'm sure Mike McDaniel looks back at that and regrets it. This week, I think they're going to let somebody let it fly.
Who do you think wins Monday? Let's say it's Tyler Huntley. Everybody's name is too similar. Let's say it's Tyler Huntley. I was reading something from Barry Jackson on Twitter that he said most of the media members believe that it's going to be Tyler Huntley just from, you know, reading between the lines from Mike McDaniel today. So let's say it's Snoop Huntley, Dolphins, they're home. It's Monday night, Tennessee Titans. Who do you think wins?
So you want me to take my 6 years of playing and my 20 years in South Florida out of it?
Yes.
I think that Tennessee wins.
Really?
I've seen the Dolphins score 11 points a game through three games. I've seen a three-point performance. I have not been tricked. Jacksonville wasn't impressive offensively with Tua. Buffalo wasn't impressive offensively with Tua in the first half. And now that Seattle game was an embarrassment. I don't trust the offense. I think the defense could be very good if the offense scores points, but I don't trust the offense. So even, and Will Levis is no world beater.
No.
I took the under of 36.5.
Did you really?
I think it's going to be a 16-10 game. Wow. But I took the under. I don't believe in the Dolphins offense right now.
I'll make this 15 minutes of Game Day Uncensored. I'll remind everybody that you can listen to Game Day Uncensored 4 hours worth Monday night with Tobin, Solana, if he makes it back on time, Adam Beasley, Omar Kelly. They will break it down for 4 hours before the game. 15 minutes of Game Day Uncensored is brought to you by the Lexus RX, the luxury SUV for those who never want to lose their edge. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. So Crowder thinks it'll be Tennessee Monday night. Here are the predictions from the Sun Sentinel guys. Dave Hyde, he's got Dolphins 17, Titans 16. And he writes, if the Dolphins lose at home to the 0-3 Titans, then the next couple of games on the road look in peril. And with them, the full season does as well. Can they find some way to gut out a much-needed win? The idea is the desperate Dolphins can somehow find just enough grit to win this game. The Dolphins being favored by 1 point seems about right.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Perkins, he's got Dolphins 31, Titans 24.
Come on, Perk.
Shootout.
Come on, Perk.
Perk says, I see this as a get-right game for the Dolphins. Of course, the argument would be, what if you can't get right like that? We all know can't get right. He sees it as a get-right game for the Dolphins, a game where the offense makes big plays that have been missing and the defense possibly scores a touchdown. Beyond that, the Titans allow 26 points a game, and the Dolphins have been really good at home under coach Mike McDaniel. They're 14-5. Even with quarterback issues, this seems set up for the Dolphins to succeed.
I would say, Perk, like, think about that. He just said 26 points, and the defense has to score a touchdown. So now, you know how hard it is to score a defensive touchdown? Now we're back at 19. It's going to be hard. I do not trust the Dolphins scoring points right now. They're the last in the league, 11 points per game. Last offense in the league. Without Tua, I have to see it to believe it.
David Fioronis from the Sun Sentinel. He has Dolphins 19, Titans 17. He says it'll take a strong performance defensively, maybe with a defensive touchdown, as the Dolphins face further uncertainty at the quarterback position. This team should find a way to get it done at home against the 0-3 Titans, even if it just takes a quarterback managing the game while finding ways to deliver passes to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle as they see a variety of coverages.
Two people in a row said we have to score on defense.
Yeah, that's never a good sign.
That scares me.
That's never a good sign. Don Bailey Jr. is going to join us this hour. We'll talk some Miami Hurricanes with him and give him some lines to work into the broadcast on Friday night. Don't forget, tomorrow we're only on from 2 till 3:30, and then the Canes pregame show will begin at 3:30, take you all the way up till kickoff at 7:30. Dan Day is in for Solana this week. Let's get headlines here for the 3 o'clock hour with Dan Day, brought to you by Doral Hyundai. At Doral Hyundai, choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory, like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. Remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai.
Looking for some football tonight? Everything gets started at 7:30. You have one college game on the slate, Temple and Army.
Temple. Who's the coach at Temple? Anyone we know? Where's Manny Diaz?
He's direct, at Duke. Direct that question to somebody other than
Duke.
Me.
Manny Diaz is at Duke.
Manny Diaz is at Duke. Where's Al Golden? Is he the Notre Dame coordinator?
And the Notre Dame defense is balling.
That's him? That's it. That's him?
That's his defense. And Ryan Clark's son is the nickelback.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know he went to Notre Dame.
Yeah, he transferred to Notre Dame from Arizona State this season for his last year.
Specifically because he wanted to play under Al Golden.
Nope. NIL is pretty cool.
Mm. Stan Drayton is the head coach at Temple. Just checking it out.
I was wondering where Stan
Nick
was.
Stan Drayton, white or black?
Black.
Really?
Stan?
Yeah, I was surprised that he was black. I thought Stan Drayton sounded like a white insurance salesman.
No, Stanley.
It gets
Stanley,
me off.
That's, oh, you're thinking of The Office, though. Stanley, famous black man on The Office. Stanley.
See, this is our racial divide. You think of Stanley from The Office. I think of Stanley from Friday After Next.
Trying to think of
Get the hell out of the way, man. Stanley!
A white guy named Stanley?
Dan.
Yeah, Stanley Bertman, Skip Bertman, legendary baseball coach at the U and LSU. Stanley Skip Bertman. He's 100 years
old. No one knows who that is.
I mean, they retired his number here in Miami.
I'll tell you, when I was a kid growing up, Stan Albeck was the head coach of the Chicago Bulls. He was a white guy with an afro, but he was a white guy.
Stanley was Craig's neighbor, and Debo and Smokey broke into his house to steal his money in for the first Friday.
Let's get to some football.
The Ticket Wizard's dad is named Stan.
Ooh.
Is it Stanley?
I think.
I'm waiting.
I'm just looking. Oh, Stanley Kubrick. He's white.
Oh, it's my favorite director.
Stanley Tucci. He's white.
Well, now I got to research black Stanleys. I didn't know this was a competition.
Wait till I get to Flat Stanley.
I did that with both my damn kids.
Every father knows Flat Stanley.
Man, Flat Stanley. Let's take him on vacation. Man, you better leave that crap at home. What about this damn little piece of paper?
I didn't know we'd get into this conversation simply by mentioning Temple versus Army.
Yeah, Stan Van Gundy, Marcos just texted to me.
Stan Van Gundy.
Stan Lee, inventor of DC Comics. Ooh. and the Batmobile.
Mm-hmm.
Stan Blackman.
By the way, before you text in, I gave enough of a pause there. I know Stan Lee didn't write DC Comics or create the Batmobile that was to annoy all you Marvel fans. Oh. And I saw it worked on Jimmy, by the way.
I was about to jump on you.
He was, oh, my God. There are people driving their cars right off the shoulder right now because of me saying that.
It's like a gang, man. You say the wrong person the wrong color, it's over, man. Well, tonight you do get the Giants and the Cowboys from MetLife Stadium. 8:15 is the kickoff for that.
Louis Stanley Gossett Jr.
Ooh.
Oh, stop it. I mean, if you want to do Lewis's or lose, I'll have the conversation.
Hey, man, it's a competition now. I'll find everybody.
What about, wasn't there Stanley Pritchett?
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of Stanley Pritchett anymore.
And we're Stanley Pritchett from the Dolphins?
No.
White or black?
Black.
Black, you are correct.
Yeah, come on.
If you give me an athlete, I'm going to yell black every time. It's 90%.
Right, the odds are in your favor.
Right. That was easy.
Two quick notes on the Panthers. They lost 8-7 to the Tampa Bay Lightning yesterday. They continue exhibition play tomorrow and Saturday at 6 against the Carolina Hurricanes. But maybe more importantly, did you hear this? Stoner's Pizza Joint is the official pizza of the Panthers.
We did, wasn't that yesterday?
No.
That was yesterday, yeah.
Oh, that was, okay. Because we did an entire segment on this. And it turned into an entire article from George Richards at FloridaHockeyNow.com, us talking about this.
Nice.
And I swear I thought it was with you. I thought you were having a Jimmy moment.
No.
But no, it was Tuesday with Solana. You're right. It was Tuesday. There's some question about whether that story is accurate or not.
Mm. We'll find out soon enough because...
Yeah, we did an entire segment on it, though.
Right, well, we'll just move on. FAU, they
hosted... I believe George Richards had to retract the article.
Look what you did.
Oh, Len, our boss Stanley. Is pointing out the Stanley Cup.
Oh, yeah.
That's who's that named after? Right.
100%.
Yeah. Man. Lord Stanley.
Lord Stanley.
Yeah.
And no black guys in the 1900s getting trophies named after him.
Certainly not in hockey.
I don't know how many black guys have the title of Lord.
Right? I mean, come on.
I think, Stanley, you know what, Hawk? When I lose, I lose. I think you got Stanley. I'm looking at, yeah, I'm.
Wow.
I'm looking now. There's, yeah. Not our cup of tea.
All right. Not our cup of tea.
Just looking ahead to some local football, FAU going to host Wagner Saturday at 6, while FIU is at home against Louisiana Tech Saturday at 6.
All right, very good.
On to weather from the Mesman and Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7 at 866-954-MORE. It is going to continue to be overcast with winds throughout South Florida. Tropical storm warning remains in effect. You're going to get those gusts up to 50 miles per hour, and it's going to be pretty steady, 25 to 35 miles per hour here in South Florida for at least the rest of the day.
Yeah, I'm keeping an eye on Hurricane Helene, and obviously I have an interest in it because my son's in Tampa. It's where he goes to school, so I'm watching it. But obviously it looks like, you know, Tallahassee is still going to be a probable area of landfall. But they have upgraded it at 225. They upgraded it to a Category 3 hurricane, and I'm looking right now. They have a 3 o'clock advisory here on the Weather Channel, 120-mile-per-hour sustained winds. Category 3 moving north northeast at 20 miles per hour, and so could be up to a Category 4 by landfall. It's gonna be some nasty weather up at Big Bend area or the panhandle of Florida, but we'll keep an eye on it. Don Bailey Jr. is going to join us in the next segment. By the way,
this is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
A dingo ate my baby.
Hawk and Crowder.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don Bailey Jr. is joining us here on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Reminder, you're looking for Canes merchandise for tomorrow night's game? You head on over to Caneswear in Davie on University Drive next to La Spada's, or you can check out all the gear online at caneswear.com. Don Bailey Jr. will be on the call tomorrow night, Hard Rock Stadium. It's a 7:30 kickoff against Va Tech, and the pregame will start at 3:30 on this very radio station, which means we'll only be on from 2 till 3:30 tomorrow. DBJ is joining us now. Hello, DBJ.
How are you?
We're good. Do you have any worries about Va Tech at all? I mean, a short week, but only by a day, and Miami's a 19-point favorite, and everything's been going right. Do you have any worries?
You know, after Notre Dame got beat at home by Northern Illinois, I always have a little bit of a worry. You know, I really do. I just think that, you know, in today's world, every single Saturday or Thursday or Friday, whenever college football is being played, there's always the upset. And am I losing sleep over it? No. Do I think it'll happen? No. Can it happen? Yes, and it has. So, you know, it's just where we are in today's world.
And DBJ, with the Cane success, and we've actually talked about it with not really, and I take a shot. We talked to John Michaels earlier in the week, and I take a shot at Florida, but Florida's not a good team. To Hawk's question, is there anything that somebody's looking at it? Because DBJ, I look that first quarter, that hurry up offense of USF, it seemed like it kind of threw them off. And I think the talent sooner or later took over. They beat them 50-15. It was a butt whooping. But that fast paced offense, or anything that somebody's going to try against UM, can you see? Or like, I don't want to give them the game plan, but could you see the angle that other teams are going to take?
You know, Channing, I think the biggest concern a Miami fan should have now, or let's just say this, Don Bailey's biggest concern is if Miami beats Miami. There's really – Miami should be able to compete and be in every single football game that they are involved in between now and the end of this regular season and think that they can win it. Now, you know, I looked at the North Carolina game, and what James Madison put, what, I don't know, 70 points on it. I don't even remember what it was. It was a basketball score. So I went back and I looked at that, and well, what happens? You know, they turn the ball over 5 times. So, you know, Miami's Miami's only enemy. If Miami decides that they're not going to be serious and they're not going to attack each game like it's the most important game on their schedule, and they start finding reasons to not play at the level that they've been told they need to play at to have a successful season, then something bad can happen. And I don't know, you know, other than the turnover, other than, you know, silly mistakes, you can't have 11 penalties like they had last week either.
I think we might be losing you, DBJ.
Both teams had 11 penalties. So it neutralized it. So I think Miami's is becoming a darn good football team, and they may be one of the best teams in the country. But I want to see what happens after we get, you know, out of October, and you know, you got Florida State, you got Louisville, and we start heading into November. Then I got a really good feeling for it.
Well, how about on the Miami meter itself? Forget about what's coming up. This Hurricanes team is the best you've seen since?
Well, since the last time we were 4-0. You know?
I think that's happened relatively recently.
And it has. It happened last year, and it happened the year before that. And it happened.
But you didn't feel that way about those teams that you do about this team.
I feel different about this.
This one feels legit.
It feels legit. It looks legit. There's position competition, which I think is probably the best thing that's happened or one of the best things that's happened to this program is Coach Cristobal, whether it's through the portal or through high school recruiting, has just brought in so much talent and at every position or most positions and stacked it to where, you know, every single day it's a challenge at practice. And I think that's paying off. This team can, if for 4-0 or for the first four games, I get the opinion, the impression that this football team can be as good as anyone has been. I mean, you look at the quarterback spot. I kind of did it this way. You look at the quarterback spot. When's the last time Miami had a quarterback that looked like this guy? And really, the answer is never. But when you talk about the leadership side of it, and you talk about the influence on the team and the example that he sets, there's not been many guys in the last since 2001 that have been able to come in and be as productive, look like they can win every single football game, and lead a squad. Now, we've had some very good players here. I don't want to minimize some of the guys that have been here in the past, but this Cam Ward is different, and different in a good way.
And DBJ, to that point, is it the recruiting or the coaching? Because to your, like, I was even asking, like, Lyles, Martinez, Arroyo, Restrepo. Restrepo can play. He'll play on Sunday. And even we talked about the guy, I can't say his name, the linebacker. Like, there's guys now that
Maui
are going to play in Malanoa.
Maui.
Maui.
Noah.
Maui. Yeah. Like Maui, like Hawaii, and then Noah, like the Ark. Maui, Noah.
I love Maui. DBJ, I love Maui Noah. Like, he runs, he plays, he blitzes.
You should have heard how Crowder tried to pronounce DJ Uingalungalungale
earlier.
Gino told us how to pronounce it, too. How do you pronounce his name, DBJ?
I
don't. I let Joe pronounce it. I let the Gacky say it.
Crowder cursed on the air. We had to dump him. Literally dropped the F-bomb. He got so frustrated trying to say
DJ Uingalungale. It took me a long time. Uingalungale?
I don't think that's right. There's more ooies or ungales or something.
Uingalungale.
I don't give a
what
right.
His name is, DBJ. but DBJ, it's not a knock either. It honestly is not a knock either way. When I was coming out of high school, it was Vilma and DJ Shockley and
right.
Andre Johnson, and those guys were there. Like, and so now you have Cam Ward. You have, is it the talent that is coming back around, or is it Cristobal and his staff? Because I'm with it. I asked to get on the train of the, you know, the UM train because of the fact that UF's not going to do anything this year. Is it, you know, saying that separation between we're just better than you physically or we're out coaching you?
I think it's both. And that's not the easy answer, you know, because this staff was here last year, majority of it, and we didn't have a great year. You know, won 7 football games. And right now, we look like an entirely different program completely. So it's the recruiting has kicked in, the portal's kicked in, and the coaching staff, Coach Cristobal did a great job of keeping everybody together. And you see the benefits of having a coordinator in Dawson for the last 2 years, you know, in year two, and the same thing with Guidry, year two. There's no terminology changes. There's no misunderstanding as far as expectations. There's none of that. And I think that pays off. But I just go to the quarterback. What's the difference between this year and last year and the year before? The biggest, most glaring difference is at quarterback. And I think he has made just a huge difference. And if Miami continues down this path, guys, we may have ourselves a Heisman Trophy winner. And I don't think that's a statement that's out of line to make.
It's not. It's really legit. And by the way, it really just drives home how important that position is. Every now and then you have a team that's an aberration and the quarterback may or may not matter. You're watching it with the Dolphins. They are a completely different team without Tua. And the Hurricanes, this is the guy we've been missing for years and years and years and years. Like, this guy is head and shoulders above anyone else out on the field. it seems like. He's so casual and confident and composed. Even if there's a modicum of pressure, like, it's just a pleasure to watch.
He almost invites it. You know what I mean? He challenges the defense to pressure me. I dare you to pressure me. I dare you to put me in the box. I have a way out. And that's, you know, it's confidence, and it's, and he's so prepared. And I think that has really probably flown under the radar more than anything. How much time he puts in, how much he is invested with in himself and his teammates and that receiving core. And it's just all paying off. And, you know, the answer to everything is D, all of the above. Coach Cristobal came in here and talked about his blueprint that he had at Oregon and how they got to 5 in the country and 12-2 and won a Rose Bowl. And he knew it was going to take time. He told people it was going to take time, and he's done it, and he's doing it. We have not done it yet. He is doing it, but I'm very confident on this football team, unless they start turning the football over. And once that happens, you turn it over, North Carolina can lose to James Madison. That's the proof right there.
DBJ, when did you know? Because I got scared. It was before the Florida game, and we had Gino Toretto on. And I had this whole Florida thing. I was being cocky. And Gino, he had a long pause, DBJ, and he said, Crowder, let me tell you, Cam can spin it. He said, I've been to a bunch of practices. I've seen throws. It's not a lure. He can spin it. Was it Florida? Was it Ball State? FAMU, South Florida? Did you know before the season that Cam could be a Heisman Trophy candidate? When did it hit you that Cam Ward can be that dude? And honestly, if you talk about Heisman, DBJ, that's the best college football player in the world.
That's right. That's a big, big, big claim, that he can win a Heisman. I can tell you that it did not take long for me. Let's say from the spring, and I was down there every day in the spring or that they had practice. Every day during spring, I got closer to the assumption that we have a guy that is different than we've had here for decades in college football. Like you said, we're talking Heisman. This is a whole nother level. This isn't like the best quarterback. This is the best there is in college football. And everything kept coming back about the work ethic, the communication, the getting there early and meeting with the receivers on his own and meeting with the linemen on his own and taking control of the football team. I didn't really dive into the field thing in the beginning and let that sell me. I wanted to see what kind of person you're dealing with and what kind of example you have and what kind of leader you have. And there has not been one report that is not A+ on everything off the field. Not one, not one second, not one, I wish he'd do this, none of that. So to me, if that's taken care of, then I start looking at what he was doing on the field. And he makes every throw. He makes every throw look easy. He doesn't get sacked. He doesn't get rattled. It's almost like he's playing with kids. Like, he's so much older and so much wiser. He knows what's going on before it even happens. And the wisdom of the game that he brings and how coachable he is and how he makes people play at a game at a different level is, you know, he's a champion. And, you know, you can try and compare it to other sports, but I don't think there is a comparison when it comes to having an elite quarterback. And I would say for the first month of college football, he has proven to be an elite player at that position.
All right, I want to give you the lines to work into the broadcast tomorrow night. Don Bailey Jr. is with us, but I will point out one of the texters, and I should have some deference to the O-line, especially when DBJ is on the air. But somebody texts in, okay, put Cam behind the O-line from 3 years ago, and he does not look like this. It's the O-line. And that's a fair point. You need a good O-line. A good O-line can make a good quarterback look great or a average quarterback look good. I know you being an O-lineman would agree.
Hawk and John Michaels were talking about that too. He said, let's not leave out the fat guys. He said, we have some NFL offensive linemen on this team.
Yeah.
Well, but let's clear it up even more, right? So Cam was what? He was 6-6 or 5-6? Or I mean, what was he? He was probably 6-6 last year at Washington State. So that kind of proves that point to be true with what you're surrounded with. But let's not minimize the fact that this is a part of the plan. I mean, year three was the year that Coach Cristobal said that we'll start really seeing the difference, and it is. And fortunately, you land a guy like Cam Ward, it really accelerated it. But I will tell you this, you go back 3 years, you go out 5 years, you go back 9 years, you can go back 10 years, you can go back 15 years. You put Cam Ward on a football team, he's going to make a difference. And believe me, if they were 500 at Washington State last year, I don't know if they were at 500 or one above 500, take them away, what would they have been?
Right.
Take them away. What would Washington State have been without him? If they won 6 or 7, I would imagine that guy's good in a season for 2 or 3 wins, period.
I'd say maybe more.
I'm talking about just him. You think about everything else. I don't care where you put him. You go put him at Eastern Kentucky. He's going to give him 3 more wins because of what he can do. And we're lucky. We're lucky. This town's lucky, and it's working. And he's lucky, too. It's working out pretty darn good for him also.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, DBJ, you did an awesome job on Saturday working lines in. You got all 4. They were all bangers. You did great. We've got some for you for tomorrow night. Are you a fan of the Brady Bunch?
Oh.
I knew you would be.
Her name?
Do you know
Janet?
Do you say it again?
Wasn't her name Janet? Wasn't the one that everybody had a girlfriend on the Brady Bunch? Wasn't it Janet?
Well, there was no Janet. There was a Jan, and there was a Marsha, and there was a Cindy.
Well, all right, Janet.
Cindy was like 5 years old,
like Janet.
So let's take her out of the conversation. It was Marsha, DBJ. It was Marsha.
Oh, Marsha. Right, it was Marsha. I had a flashback from something else.
That's Janet Jackson, DBJ. We on the same page. That's Janet
Jackson. On Good Times. Janet Thank Jackson was on Good Times, but her name was Penny.
Thank you, Ken.
She was Winona's adopted daughter.
Give me the right era, bro. Give me the right era.
The Brady Bunch debuted, or as Jimmy would say, debuted on this day 55 years ago. Here's a little clip from the theme song.
The Brady Bunch. The Brady Bunch. That's the way.
Brady Bunch, the Brady Bunch. That's the way they became the Brady Bunch.
Everybody in America knew that lead. Everybody.
Yep.
Yes, I can do that one without a doubt.
I had a feeling you could. The movie Joker 2 comes out in about a week, and the Joker obviously comes from the Batman show, and the original Batman theme, I'm sure you're familiar with, from the debuted like in the 60s and it was popular in the 70s. Here's a little clip from the Batman theme. Batman, 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 da 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 da, Batman.
Love it. Easy to do. No problem.
I knew these were going to be perfect for him. Motley Crue.
That might be a Restrepo play, huh? That might be a Restrepo play. He's got a little
Fair
Batman
enough.
To it.
Motley Crue plays tonight at Hard Rock Live. You a Motley Crue fan at all, DBJ?
I mean, a while back. Not so much today.
Right.
But a while
here's
back.
Here's a little clip from one of their hits, Dr. Feel Good. He's the one that called Dr. Feel Good. He's the one that makes you feel all right. He's the one that called Dr. Feel Good. He's going to be your Frankenstein.
If you say so. If you say so. You print it, we'll say it.
All right, fair enough. I think these are good ones. We have one more for you. We just happened to be playing at the beginning of the show today, Life is a Highway from Tom Cochran. I said, throw it on the list for DBJ. Here's the clip. Life is a highway. I want to ride it all night long.
That's a touchdown call right there, buddy. That's a touchdown call if I heard one. Hey, Channing, I want you to know, you can be a cane till your Gators get right, bro. You know you're supposed to be there anyway. You know that.
So, like, for 20 years, he's going to be a cane?
I appreciate
See, I'm going to welcome you. I'm going to welcome you in the club, bro. You're more than welcome. There's no problem whatsoever.
Is this the ultimate thumbs up, Hawk? Because I've been asking to get on the train for a while, and now DBJ said I can jump on the train.
You are on the train.
Thank you, DBJ.
I am not
going to
kick
you
while you're down, bro. We're going to invite you into the club.
Thank you.
You got a little bit of cane in you. You got a lot of cane in you, and you know
it. He does.
I'll be there Friday. So, yes, I got you, man. Thank you so much, bro.
There you go. DBJ, listen to him tomorrow night. Pregame starts at 3:30, and the game kicks off at 7:30 right here on 560 QAM. Have a good broadcast tomorrow, DBJ.
All right, guys. Thank you.
There you go. 4 o'clock hours coming up.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Welcome to Moe's.
Hawk and Crowder.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.